Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we want to, that was a difficulty there, but we want to welcome you to livedeliverance.com here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Pastor Steve Lee. I'll be your host for the next hour or so. If you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 to 11 p.m. here on Monday evenings, we're glad to have you. But if you're listening to us on any other social media platforms during any other times of the week, please contact us here at Blog Talk Radio, livedeliverance.com, and give us the times and the place of and dates and locations where you're hearing us. Although we would love to proliferate the airways, we must do it legally, ethically, and in righteousness. If you hear our content through any other means, it is the result of internet piracy and copyright infringement. And all those who participate in internet piracy can be prosecuted by federal agents. Having said all that, now we can get down to the business of the kingdom. So go ahead and get a pen, some paper. If you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. You can also use that time to write down any of the scriptures that we would make reference to in the ministry so that you can go back and revisit them at a later time. And having all that out of the way, if you would now join me in a word of prayer as we sanctify our time together. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. And I decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victories in our heart and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, beloved, this is part five of the supply of grace. As the sons of God, we must understand how to and when we should function in the supply of grace. Grace is not here just to cover our mistakes, but rather as a demark of my growth and submission to the will of God, the place where I can get out of the way and let God have his way. Grace is understood as God's willingness and ability to work in my behalf, even though I don't deserve it. Okay? Yes, it is unmerited favor, but it's God's willingness and his ability to work in my behalf, even though I don't deserve it. See, I keep going back to this point because we have been trained that the way that God works is that if we do perfect, he'll do good. No, God is good. So whatever he does will be good. There is no other choice. And he's good all the time. See, so then when I go to him, I'm going to him because he is good, not just because I made a mistake. This is so I can just make it plain, I guess. You have a bank account. You go to the bank and get the money out of the bank. That account does not care whether you do good or not before you come to it. You have the authority, permission, clearance to get the money out of the bank. All you have to do is follow the steps that were already ordained for you to do. And as you do that, then you'll see that God's willingness and ability is working exactly the same way as that cash that's in your account. He's usable at any time you want to use it. Okay, he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? And as we learn, understand, believe, trust in what he said and execute the steps that he laid before us, we'll get the results. If you do Bible things, you get Bible results. See, I'm not just making stuff up and throwing it out there so that it sounds good and takes up space on the tape or the CD or the broadcast. No, I'm giving information that the Word of God has already verified that works. It's your supply of grace. In the first way we went to God in the Old Testament, they went to him and they asked him to have mercy. Mercy is when I don't get the punishment that I deserve. Mercy is when I do not get what I deserve, the punishment that I deserve. I did the crime, but I don't get the time. In the Old Testament, you can see this as a bath, if you would, because we were under the law, and if you messed up under the law, you were already sinful. We got that. So then you needed a bath. So God had mercy on you so that you can stay connected to him. He would give you a bath. The New Testament rendering of that understanding would be grace. And grace is, this is the definition again, mercy's definition is when I don't get the punishment I deserve. And grace is when I get what I don't deserve. Even I couldn't earn it. I can't demand it. I get it because it's grace. It is God's unmerited favor and his willingness to work in my behalf, even though I don't deserve it. Okay? And in as we apply it from the New Testament tenet, we see it in John chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and it says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons. Wow. He gave you the power to become sons. Why? Because he's no longer imputing your trespasses against you. See? Grace is here so that God can establish his kingdom on the earth. Okay? He gave us the power to become sons and to as many as received him. Glory to God. To as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons. Okay? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of it. See, as a matter of fact, every situation in your life, God has provided multiple ways for you to overcome. Amen. When we beheld the Word, we look at the Word. It says, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. It was full of grace and truth. The devil attacks in one way. In fact, Jesus said this. Let's go through that. He said that there are only five things that can cause the Word to be removed from your heart. And he says that in Mark chapter 4. And it's persecution, affliction, the lust of other things. Turn over to that now. Just look at that. Mark chapter 4. And you'll look at it. These are the things that cause it. From verse 19, they're right there listed. 18 and 19. Okay, sign at 17, just so you can see it. And having no root in themselves, they endure before a time, and afterward, after affliction, that's one. Persecution, that's two. That arises for the word's sake. Okay, it's not because of you. It's because of the Word. Then it says that the other thing that causes it is that they that hear the Word and sown among thorns and hear it, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Persecution, affliction, cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, when they enter in, they choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay, just as a counterpoint here, it didn't say that the word is gone. It said that the word becomes unfruitful. Okay, do you get that? He's wanting you to be able to enjoy it throughout all time. Okay, so it says that it was full of grace and truth. And John, back to John chapter 1, bear witness, crying, this is he of whom I spake that cometh after me, which was preferred before me. And of his fullness have we all received. That statement is not just talking about the event of that day when he was speaking it. It's one of those eternal statements. He said, of his fullness have we all received. Grace for grace. Amen. I want you to get that. There is no time that you can come up with a place that you don't fit in the Word of God. He said, and of his fullness have we all received. When you were functioning in sin and you decided that you wanted to be saved and to be holy, well, we all receive from that same grace. Okay? And so he wants us to display his love and his will on the earth. It was not given to us for our mistakes. It was given for us to release on purpose. Once you are a recipient of the grace of God, then you should go and operate that grace that you just stand in, that you operate in. Okay? So he used truth coupled with grace as the vehicle to get things done here in the earth. John chapter 8, verse 32 tells us that when you know the truth, and you shall know the truth, become intimate with the truth. All right? It's not that you shall hear the truth. Please, beloved, let's get this to our heart. He says, when you know it, that word know there is the same word that is connected to physical intimacy. And Adam knew his wife. Okay, same word. They were intimate. So it says, and you shall know, become intimate with the truth, and the intimate truth that you are operating in, that truth then shall make you free. Did not say set you free, it said make you free. Okay, it will cause you to function in a different way. Okay. If I just set you free, if I take your old dirty self, this is what we used to say in the Baptist church, that if you go down in the water to get baptized and you don't believe Jesus is the Lord, then you just go in the water dirty and you come up dirty because there was no change. See? But when you are intimate with the truth, then the truth that you are intimate with causes a change from the inside, and it manifests on the outside. This is not something that you just get a change and you go around saying, I was changed, and I went to the water and got baptized, but then you're still doing all the things that you were doing before. There was no change that's evident. He gave them the power to become sons. He didn't give them the power to stay crazy. You see what I'm saying? So when you are intimate with the truth, when you know the truth, then that intimate truth that you have, that no one can shake, that truth that you know now makes you free, causes you to hear things from a different perspective, causes you to understand things from a higher perspective. Psalms 119, 130 says the entrance of the word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Notice it didn't say the hearing, it said the entrance. Glory to God. See, when the word is able to get inside the heart, if you're going to keep your heart full of deceitful things that money causes us to do, remember he told us these are the things that choke the word out, okay? It says if you have affliction, persecution, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things choke the word because they enter in. I'm going to go ahead and say this. If you don't get the things out that's choking the word, you will live a stalled life. I say that again. If you don't get the things out that are choking, that's in your heart, that are choking the word, you're going to live a stalled life. In the process of choking, life is being suspended, stopped. And at the end of the choking process, it's over for you. So it says that there are things that we allow to be in our heart, hurts, pains, events that harmed us, that we perceived as not good. And if we hold on to that unforgiveness, that bitterness, it says that the what happens is the things enter in and they choke the word. The lusts of others, I don't want them to do this to me. I can't stand with that. That means you want a different result. I got that. Amen. Walk by the word and you will walk right into your victory. When you walk in the word, you walk out your victory. I'm going to say that again. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, my word abides in you, then you shall ask what you will and it will be given you. Please hear him. He said, if you abide in him, live there, intimate position, and my word abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it will be given you. He didn't say, and you will have to work for it. He said, if you live here, you have certain rights, privileges that'll be made manifest anytime you need it. In my mother's house, and in my house, the same thing. If there were food in the refrigerator, I didn't have to ask, can I have? I had authority. It was in there for me. The polite thing to do is to tell that, yes, I'm going to go get me a sandwich. You're not just asking for permission. You're giving information so that everyone knows that the people that are going to replenish the refrigerator from that item that has been removed by you, they know that that item is gone now. That's polite. That was not just me getting permission. I didn't have to ask for permission. You understand what I'm saying? See, there were things that I knew when I went to the refrigerator. I had already been given instructions. Leave this item for your daddy. That's mine. So then I knew better than to go into a refrigerator that I have free access to and violate all of the things that were stated and given as understanding before I reached for that dough handle. I knew that as the joke was, I knew that the big piece of chicken was for my daddy. So I didn't go in there and get that, see, because then I'm going to have to answer for that, and then that's going to mess me up because now they're going to put other conditions on what used to be completely free to me. If you know the, come on now, if you know the truth, if you are intimate with the truth, you enter into a level of freedom, of liberty, see? And that's what God wants us to do. This is, the grace was there so that we can go to the next level. Oh, I hope you understand that. Grace was there. We're going to look at that in just a minute. Grace was there so I can go to the next level. God is always, he's the God of increase. He is the God of increase. So whatever, come on, y'all, whatever is working in your life, God wants it to be more. He is the God of increase. He's not mad because what you used yesterday is now used up. He is the God of increase. Glory to God. So he's inviting you into greater. Okay. He's inviting you to greater. And since you've never been in that great place before, it might be something that you say, I'm not qualified for. Okay. The invitation did not mandate qualification. Amen. The invitation was given because he wanted you there. He didn't ask you to qualify for the place. He just invited you into the place. You'll know the truth, intimate with the truth, and then the truth that you're intimate with will cause you to be free, have liberty. That's your invitation into the greater. Paul gave it to us this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul says, grace was given to me, and I begin to work with, understand, utilize, handle effectively the grace that was given to me. It was not in vain. I labored with it. I began to ask questions of God, ask questions to God. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Of what to do with this grace. See? It's an empowerment. Remember, those that received him, and he was full of grace, he was full of truth, those that received this grace, to them he gave the power to become. So then that tells me that the power to become the son is connected to the grace. Amen. The power to be, just leave the, these are scriptures that we have. The power to become, those that received him, to them he gave the power to become. The power to become was my invitation path. It leads me to sonship. Amen. Okay? And as a son, I recognize that I don't have to worry about the things that are that have been already given to me. I just function in them. I don't have to go and earn them or get them. They've already been given to me. I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Okay, let's try it this way. Did he not say that everybody received of this grace? Okay, let's go there. He said everybody received of this grace, but Paul said I labored in that grace. I endeavored every day to understand the working of that grace. And then as I understood, listen to this, it's right there in the scripture. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul says, I learned how to connect with that grace, flow in that grace, utilize that grace to cause me to understand why I'm standing where grace has placed me. Oh, my God. It's an invitation unto your next level. That would kind of explain why he had to be full of grace and truth, because it's always an invitation into your next level. There was a song in my generation, the same thing it took to get your baby hooked is going to take the same thing to keep her. Well, Jesus put that principle into action, because the same, he was full of grace, and the grace that we came and received, that grace now is going to increase. He is the God of increase. If you don't utilize the grace, there is no need for your increase to be seen. Come on, y'all. He's the God of increase. But if you don't use the increase, why is he giving you more? It's just unused, if you would. Okay? And that's not what's supposed to happen. Okay? It was given so that you can go from point A to point B. Okay? Please hear what I just said. It was given so that you can go from point A to point B. You're already standing in point A, beloved. Okay, let's try to get it from there. See, this was not, he didn't say go from zero to A, changing everything, because one is numbers and one is the alphabet. He said you're standing in A, now you're going to go to B. You've been made more than a conqueror, more than you have been made an overcomer. What does that mean? That he placed you in victory to go to your next victory. You're supposed to go from glory to glory. Okay, let's just investigate that. He didn't say that you're going to go from lower to glory. He said you're going to go from glory to glory. You start with the victory. See? You start with the victory of understanding exactly where you are now. That's all. I'm not even mad because of all the things I'm supposed to do and I ain't did. No, no, no. I'm starting where I am. I'm going from whatever level of glory I stand in to the next level of glory I'm called to. That's why you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, because he meets you in the place wherever that is, and he strengthens you there, and he asks you as he strengthens you, will you go further? I labored more than them all. See, the glory was not in vain. I recognized it, that I'm standing here by the glory of God. See? Paul deals with this again. This was the revelation that Paul worked with until that revelation worked in his life. Come on, I'm going to say it again. This is the revelation that Paul worked with until that revelation worked in his life. That's our same path that we have to follow. Did not Paul invite us by saying, follow me as I follow Christ? Amen. And here it is again. He's going to say that same thing to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and make some things and says, it's expedient for me doubtless to glory, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, I'm starting in glory. I want you to know this. It's expedient for me doubtless to glory. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows it. He was caught up unto paradise, and he heard unspeakable words which were not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet not of myself, but I will glory in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man think me above that which he heareth or seemeth me to be, or heareth of me. He says, unless, listen to this one, this is the one we've messed up so bad. Unless I be exalted above measure, abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Okay, let's make sure we get it. Paul was standing in a place of glory, but he understood humility. And he says, wait a minute, there's a problem here. Watch the answer of God about his problem. There was a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet me, lest he would be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelation. Okay? I want you to see this process as it's written. And he says, this thing caused me to talk to God three times that it might depart from me. He said, I've talked to God about this three times. And if we're understanding that he talked to God three times, then there should be three responses from God. Is that correct? And there was. They were all exactly the same. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And he went back and said, God, I really need for you to deal with this thing, this messenger of Satan that was sent to me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God, you just not hearing me. See, I keep, every day I wake up and this frustration is in front of me and this limitation is keep hounding me. And God said to him again, finally, Paul heard it and he understood that the grace that he was standing in, the place where he was, there was already power evident given by God, for as unto them that received him, to them he gave power to become. Not power to fail. Not power to be frustrated, but power to become. And God told him again, my grace, this supply that I have for you is sufficient. Will you stop acting like, thinking like, responding like, my grace is insufficient? Well, why is this? Would you learn to work with the grace of God? Labor to work with that. Understand, what does that mean, God? Since I've got power from Jump Street, since I've been set in victory, even though, okay, please understand this, let's do it this way. You were set in victory and you are aware of the fight. Okay, did you get that? He placed you in victory and then you become aware of the fight around you. Do you not know that the Jesus said, John 10:10, the only reason the devil is there is to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? He only comes to steal. If I don't have anything, can he steal anything? No. He only comes to steal. My grace is sufficient. Would you learn how to use the grace? Resist the enemy by standing in the grace. Will you learn to do that? Or will you keep coming to me, asking me to do something I've already done? He asked God 3 times about this. God said the same thing each time. And Paul, because he was understanding, but if you stay intimate with the truth, then the truth will make you free. Paul would hear that. He would meditate on that. And he would say, okay, wait a minute. My victory is guaranteed as long as I become intimate with the truth. So why would I then be talking to the devil at any time? Because Jesus said the devil is the father of lies. Whenever he speaks of a lie. So here I am talking to the devil because I'm mad and frustrated, and the devil enters into that conversation quickly. That's why the Bible tells you stuff like be angry and sin not. Because the devil shows up at any offense. Please know that. Any offense, the devil was there. And the Bible tells us to follow peace. What does that mean? That peace was also present whenever that issue came up. Are we going to be obedient to the word? Because the blessed ones, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. Not the peace finders, the peacemakers. Those that are in the atmosphere of turmoil and decide to turn that atmosphere into a place of abiding peace. They make peace. See? So you're going to have to begin to work the word, behold the word, handle the word, and the word that you hold on to that becomes part of your life, that word, you continue in it, it makes you free. So Paul is having these, please look at this, y'all. I haven't seen this just now. He said, I talked to God about this, okay? That means he's in prayer about this. Is that correct? Okay? And in prayer, there was a conversation between Paul and God. He probably was not in the battle, the heat of the battle. This was after the confrontation, and he went back to figure out what's going on. Why is this happening? Why can't I get a breakthrough? And Paul learned the thing I need to do is talk to God. I don't need to talk to the devil. Let me try it this way. Those of you who are married and you are having time of intimacy with your wife, with your mate, at that time, do you bother to bring into that place of intimacy any other person that you like, that you think likes you? Is that what you want to bring into a time of intimacy? Oh, baby, I just love you. You remind me of Patricia. Oh, no, we got a problem right here, though. All that intimacy, it's over with. Why? Because you brought something into the situation that will not continue your victory. Well, why do we go to prayer? And it's just what we do. We've been taught this. I don't know where, but we've been taught this. We learned this. We picked this up. We'll go to prayer talking to the one that wants to be intimate with you, and we keep bringing up this hurt and that. Let's stop that, y'all. You want to be intimate. He said, if you continue in my word, then you will be intimate with the truth, and the truth makes you free. You get the same exact revelation that Paul got when he kept talking to God about all this trouble. He said, my conversation was, would you cause this thing to depart from me? Here you are with God, and you're talking about your problem. And then you didn't understand what the response from heaven was. The response from heaven was, my grace that you're standing in, Paul, it is, please, underline, circle some of these words, it is sufficient. He didn't say it will be sufficient. The response from heaven is, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In the place where you don't want to be, then you will submit to the word that's alive in your heart. Jesus was here walking with people that wanted to kill him. And the Bible says when they were collected, it was a crowd of people. And the Bible says he walked through the midst of them. Come on, y'all. I mean, if they're trying to kill you, it did. Come on, come on, come on. Wow, wow, wow. It did not say he fought through the midst of them. It said he walked through the midst of them. My God, my God. See, if you are armed correctly, if you are dressed correctly with the full armor of God, then you can stop all of the, not some of the, all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. You'll have your helmet on. You see what I'm saying? Jesus was dressed appropriately all the time. So then because he knew the word, he was intimate with the word that was spoken to him from heaven, that was alive in him because he was the word. I get that. So then that word gave him the power to walk through the midst of them. You do remember when they came to crucify Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Jesus asked them a question, who do you seek? And they say, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus spoke. He said, I am he. And when he said what was on the inside of him, come on, y'all. See, the truth that he's intimate with caused liberty. Even in the midst of a fight, he said, I, and what happened next? They fell on the ground. They fell backwards, it says. Good God Almighty. I mean, do you get that? they couldn't even fight no more. The fight was over. That's why Jesus had the ability to walk through the midst of them. Let's look at that in John chapter 18. Great. Wow. Chapter 18. All right, starting at verse 1. This is, and sometimes in order to get what God is saying, we need to go back and see how he started the conversation. So verse 1, because the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. That was for our study in inclusion so that we can know where we are. Everybody doesn't know or are familiar with scriptures on the base that I've been rehearsing over and over in my life. So then they would say, oh, it didn't say that. Well, yes, it did. Let's go read it. Let's go to this specific scripture. Let's go to, now we can do it for our enjoyment and pleasure, what they divided up. We can go to, but it was a congruent conversation that was happening. Okay. And I was going to, I might get back to chapter 17 because he said things in chapter 17 that set up chapter 18. Okay, I'm going to come back if I can, if I have time. Verse 1 of chapter 18, and when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where a garden into which he entered with his disciples. So he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going there. Watch this. And Judas also, which betrayeth him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted thither with his disciples. Oh, my God, this is so good. He said Jesus would often go there. You remember the song, I Go to the Garden Alone? While the dew is fresh on the roses, and the voice I hear as I linger there. See, I mean, that's songs that were the ones that were anthems that kind of helped us brought over, help us get over. They were there to help people in times of trouble. I go to the garden alone. While the dew, this is early, while the dew is still fresh on the roses. And there's going to be a conversation that takes place. As the voice that I hear as I linger there, not the voice that I hear as I'm running and panting trying to get there because I ain't got but a few. No, see, the time of prayer and fellowship is precious. That's the time of intimacy. He said he often resorted there with his disciples. And Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. Wait a minute, y'all. If I knew this is what's going to happen and I didn't want it to happen, am I going to go walking into that? Jesus did, because he was full of grace and truth. He knew the word that's on the inside that had been germinating and stirred up. He knew that that word which does not come back void, that word would cause him to have victory. The power in that word would be easy to be entreated for him in the midst of the trouble. Knew this, and he said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said unto them, I am he. Judas that was also with him stood with them. And as soon as he said unto them, I am he, they went backwards, fell to the ground. The power in the word that's in your heart dismantles the attack that's coming against you. He didn't say, you know, I used to be like Jesus, or I used to be reported as Jesus. He said, I am he. Did not Paul say, I am what I am by the grace of God? He invoked God's name because that is God's name. I am that I am. See, when you put God in the midst of the thing, your victory has already been guaranteed. Now you get to walk out the victory. Watch this. Jesus, because he's trying to finish his job, Jesus said, I am he. And they fell to the ground. And then Jesus said, y'all, get up, boys. Who do you seek? He had to turn the power down. Come on, y'all. He had to turn the power down to allow them to do what was necessary for the rest of his life. No man takes his life. He lays his life down, and he picks it up again. This commandment have I received from the Father. So it says, they fell, and Jesus said, okay, let me start over. Who do you seek? And they said, Jesus. And he answered, I told thee, I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that it might be fulfilled which he spake of them, those that you gave me, I lost none. You see, this is the grace that's available for us. And so then Jesus, knowing that this is what's supposed to happen, go back to chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We are digging into the grace. We're just digging, trying to get an understanding of this grace. See? Because you are called to function in it. And as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the grace, the anointing. See? He gave it to you. Paul was talking to God in prayer, and he was just frustrated. Okay, wow, that's good, sir. Paul was talking to God in prayer, frustration, again, the lust of other things and the cares of this world. They enter in the cares of this world. I don't know what they're going to do, Lord. They're trying to kill me, the cares of this world, entering in. See, Jesus knew, they cannot take my life. This is an offering. I've given my life, and then I can pick it back up again. Paul came to the place. They tried. Come on, y'all. They tried to kill Paul. Couldn't kill Paul. Till Paul said, "Now I'm ready to go." They tried to kill the Apostle John. They did everything they could. They boiled the man in oil, and he wouldn't die. So they did the next thing. They say, "Let's get him away from us." They put him in exile on the island of Patmos. And all he did while he was on the Isle of Patmos is wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, he stayed in the presence of God. You remember Peter was, Jesus said to Peter, you know, John was leaning on the breast of Jesus, and he was known as the disciple that loved, that Jesus loved. And then Peter went to get him and said, "What about him? Why are he able to do stuff we can't do? Well, what about him?" And Jesus said, "What is that to you? If I say," he was already in John. Just go to the end of it. Just go to the end of it so you can see these things. See? They were in the upper room eating what is the Last Supper. And again, Jesus, this was afterwards. Okay. What is it to thee? Yeah. Okay. What is it to thee? That's interesting. I just thought about it. I'm trying to look at it because we're right there at the place where these things that we live in, okay? This is every day. We live in this stuff. This is not something that we ought to have an opportunity to do. Let's look at this. In chapter 21, this is after he fed them. I mean, supernaturally, Jesus came in there and just did stuff. He walked and he prepared a meal for them. So many things, you know that. He prepared a meal for them and had fish waiting for them. And they went through this experience again. They went back. They reverted back. Peter was drunk in the water. And then they found, he asked them the question, "Have you caught anything? Is your life working?" And then he said, cast your nets on the other side and you'll catch. You're fine. And then they did. And then what happened is their boats began to sink. And Peter was out there. He said, "This has happened to me again. Jesus is still in my boat." So he knew it was Jesus. And then he went in and he went to the cooking for it. He already cooked for him. This is in verse 5 when he started. He said, "Do you have any meat?" They said, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship and you're fine." And then they were not able to draw because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." Notice, as he's writing this, this is John writing, and he said, he refers to himself as a third party. He says, "And the disciple that Jesus loved." Okay, he makes that clear. Okay, that it was love that made this whole stuff work. And he said, "It's the Lord." And he girded his fisher's coat and came to him for he was naked. He was naked. He was out there in the sea, naked and drunk, because there was nothing working. This is stuff we get to live. Okay, you don't understand what Jesus is doing, so you go back to what you do. Okay. All right, at the beginning, I didn't say it so you can see it. Go back up to verse 1, sorry. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at Tiberias, the Sea of Tiberias, which is on this wise he showed himself. There were gathered together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the other disciples. Simon Peter say unto them, this is what Simon Peter said. He said, "It ain't working, Jesus gone." Notice what Simon Peter said. He says, "I go fishing." Now, this is after, come on, y'all. I hadn't thought about this. This is after Jesus told them that I want you to receive the Holy Ghost. This happened in verse, it's after 20. Okay? I want you to receive the Holy Ghost. It's evident. that they weren't having a concept of that, thinking about that, find out, get that done. But look at what Peter said. I go fishing. And they all said, I go with you. So they went forth and they entered into the ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was come, they stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And he said to them, we just started this, and then they cast, and then they came to the shore dragging a net that was full of fish. Okay? And as soon as they would come to the land, verse 9, they saw fire and coals there and fish laid upon and bread. See, Jesus had already cooked for them. He said, bring the fish that you have caught. And Peter went up to the net full of great fishes, 150 and three. And for all the many, the net was not broken. Notice the power of the word is able to handle everything that comes against you, but it still brings to you what God wanted you to have. The net was not broken. All right, there's things to know. He said, come and dine. And then they still, you know, trying to see, they didn't know it was Jesus. And who are you? Then Jesus come and take bread. The way he showed himself. Again, they remember miracles that Jesus did. Nobody else did these miracles. So the eating of bread and fish from a miracle standpoint, they knew what to think about. And then Jesus had conversation. He said, verse 15, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And he said, you know, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lamb. Then he said, again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Then the third time he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now Peter being grieved because he said it the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. He said, so why you be asking me something you already know? He said, I'm going to put it back on you. He said, I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Verily I say unto you, when you was young and you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to go, and but when you're old, you shall stretch forth your hands and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou shouldst go. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And then when he had spoken unto him, he said again, follow me. Peter then turning about to the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, and he leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter saith to them, to Judas, what thou doest, do as quickly. And if I will tarry till, if he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. And this saying went wrong among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus did not say unto him, you shall not die. But he said, if he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? See, John kept living with the revelations that was on the inside. Jesus didn't say he wasn't going to die. But he gave him a promise, gave him hope. He said, if he tarry till I come, what you got to do with that? See, this grace that's available for us to function in, it does not relent. It works forever through every situation. Back to 2 Corinthians 12. Just understanding how Paul worked this into his life. See? In the time of prayer, that's what you should do. You should work things into your spirit. Work things into your life. Become confident on those things. Okay? So then when the challenge is facing you, you already have the answer. And the answer is on the inside of you. Glory to God. We have received grace for grace. It's on the inside of you. Okay, we'll do it that way, sir. It's on the inside of you, and it's a covering for you. Grace for grace. Amen. Amen. It says that we stand in this grace. That would be a covering, wouldn't it? But it's also Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wouldn't that be grace? Yeah. That's where the power would be. in the time of prayer. Paul said, I kept talking to God about it. And what I wanted God to do was to cause the thing to leave. So after I got through with all my conversations, I heard from heaven, and heaven said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, I just looked at that. He didn't say your grace, Paul. Not just the grace that's on you. I appreciate that. That's the grace you stand in. But there's a grace on the inside of you. And then what it says, Jesus said, greater is he that lives on in you than he that's in the world. Yeah. So then he says, the grace, my grace, which my grace, which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. My grace on the inside. See, the grace that you stand in is all, the grace that you stand in does not require further expectation, does it? Not the grace that you're standing in. That's your testimony, if you would. But your testimony is not the, I'm writing that one down, that your testimony is not the end of the story. That's just chapter one. Woo, glory to God. That's the grace that you're standing in. That's your testimony. But that's not the end of the story. Amen. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can dare ask or think. And the story goes on. Amen. Until you can hear that the well done that's promised. That's why Paul was able to say, I've run my race, I've finished my course. Therefore, is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, but for all of those that love his appearing. See? I'm living from the inside. So I heard the answer. I heard the answer, and now I'm determined to live from the answer that's on the inside. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace, just go back to the place where you understand you're standing in victory, about to come to the manifestation of another breakthrough. You're standing in victory. You're standing in grace. And the Bible says that where sin abounds, much more does grace abound. In other words, he's about to start a flow, isn't he? Glory to God. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, so now I understand. I'm on glory in my infirmity so that the power that rests in me will be seen. That's why I take pleasure in infirmity, because the infirmity bubbles up this expectation that's going to be released, that it doesn't matter what the devil sends my way. Because he started citing some in my reproaches, in necessity, in persecution. Well, that takes me right to Romans chapter 8, when he asks a question. What shall separate you from the love of God? He says, verse 30, verse 35 and following, Romans chapter 8. This is what the... This is what how he worked it into his life, to the point that he could stand against whatever was coming. As it, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? He just adds. He says, no, I'm a glory in this. Persecution? No. I'm a glory in this because his grace is sufficient for me. I'm on a glory in this position that I'm in now, knowing that the expectation on the inside is working, whatever's necessary, so that the promise of God will be made manifest. He said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or pearl or sword? As it is written, this is the way some people think, we are, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, no, that's not true. That was the way we thought. That was the position of our heart. But he says, no, that's not the way this works. And he says something very powerful. He says, nay, in all of these things, in all what things? In all persecution, in all distress, in all tribulation, in all famine, in all nakedness, in all peril, in all with all the sword. Not in one of them. He says in all of them, we are exactly the same. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Says, it doesn't matter what you send my way, devil. I'm going to glory in the infirmities and necessities of persecution because I know that when I am weak, he said, his strength is going to be made perfect right there. I have sufficient grace in the midst of all of that. In all, didn't say in one, in all of these things. That nothing, nay, in all these things are more than conquerors than through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Paul said, I'm going to work this thing in me so much that I can't think no other way. I mean, there's no way that someone can come to me now and say, you're not Stevie Lee. I'm persuaded that I am Stevie Lee. See? The Stevie Lee that I used to be is not who I am today, but I'm still him because I changed from glory to glory. But I'm still Stevie Lee. When I hear that name in heaven, I will be able to stand up and say, here am I. Glory to God. For I am persuaded that neither life, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. See? This grace that we function in is for strength. It is for insight. It's for execution by power. It's for unity. It's for reward. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 10. Bless you, Jesus. So that we can see, you work these tenets into your life, okay? And as you work them into your life, they cause you to have strength, power to stand as you prepare to walk. Please note that God said, having done all to stand, right? Stand, therefore. Then you look at your armor, because now that you have this armor and you're standing upright, you understand how to use the armor, don't you? Amen. So then if you feel like you've been knocked down, excuse me, help yourself, slap yourself, do what David said, encourage yourself in the Lord, and get back up. Stand. Amen. Verse 10, chapter 4, book of Hebrews. For he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us, therefore, labor to enter into that rest. Remember, Paul said, I labored in the grace of God more than them all. All right? And he says we should labor to enter into that rest. If we don't, we're going to fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wait a minute. He says that the word of God will help you in the fight. This is in the time of prayer. The word of God is going to help you in the fight. It's going to go to the place where it's going to separate, divide asunder the soul and the spirit. Okay? Because it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So then when you're fighting and your soul wants to continue in the comfort or the discomfort that you're in, either one, because your soul brought you to your discomfort or your soul brought you to your comfort. Amen. But the word of God is going to separate the soul from the spirit. Remember, Paul told us in chapter 7, just before he told us in chapter 8 of Romans, it says that there's a battle going on. And I don't do the things that I want to do. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I want to do, I don't. I want things I don't want to do, I do. And things that I want to do, I don't do. He said, who shall deliver me from this craziness that I got, this flesh battle? He said, God will. And how will he do it? Because my spirit agrees with the word of God. My flesh gives me trouble. There's a battle on the inside. So I'm going to use the word in the time of prayer to allow the process that God already put in place. The word is supposed to divide asunder soul and spirit. The support structure, joints and marrow. The joints are the support structure of movement. The marrow would go to the purpose that you want to get things done, because the discerning of thoughts and intents of the heart, the word of God will cause you to separate the structure of that thing in your life and the supply that gives it life. That's what the marrow is. The marrow produces blood, and the blood is the life of the flesh. Okay? So once you get to the place where the word of God is separating the soul from the spirit, he will also deal with the structure, the joints, and the supply that makes the joints think that they can't do or they should do. Okay? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is in the time of prayer, you allow this. This is what Paul did. He kept going to God, talking about the problem, and God kept telling him the same answer. What was he giving him? He was giving him an active, live word. My grace is sufficient for you. If you think you're in a weak place, please understand that in this weak place, my strength is made perfect. My grace is sufficient. I mean, you can just right there take this scripture, this passage of scripture, and you can overcome everything in your life, because you will only hear the same thing over and over, that the grace that he's given you, the supply of the grace, is sufficient for you. And if you think you're in a weak place, know that God is perfecting you, because in that weak place, his strength is made perfect. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in itself, in its sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Seeing then, so because of this, okay, when you think from this perspective, it causes you to look differently. Watch this. Seeing then, we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. See, I'm not looking at what they did, what the devil caused. No, I'm looking now. Seeing then, I understand my high priest has already passed into the heavens. He went through every one of those. Was persecution able to separate them from? No. Distress. What about the sword? What about nakedness? What about the note? Jesus, my high priest, has already gone through, passed into the heavens. So I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to hold on to it is finished. Glory to God. See, he's the high priest of my confession. I hold on to it is finished, because he's already gone through all of the muckety-muck, and he's passed through it into the heavens. He's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, expecting that all of his enemies shall be made his footstool. In other words, he passed the job onto me, onto you, onto the body. He's expecting that all of his enemies will be made his footstool, and the last enemy is going to be death. Glory to God, y'all. Come on. So then if he has the expectation, he's sitting down until death is overcome, then why are we scared of a sickness or a disease being stalled by a plandemic? My high priest has already passed into heaven. For we don't have a high priest that's not touched with my feelings. See, Jesus went through all it. He's saying this so that we can understand. He went through nakedness and peril and the sword and famine and persecution. He went through that. And he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He did it so that we would see then. See? He was in all points tempted as we are, but yet without sin. So because of that, as I think from that reference, let us because of this come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Is there a conversion in your heart? Or do I go to the time of prayer and leave just as frustrated as I was when I approached it, that I did not obtain the mercy and find the grace? See, Paul was troubled on every side, it said. See? But yet he held on because he stopped looking at the things that were seen. He began to look at the things that were not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal, deathless, and everlasting. See? So this is what Paul was working into his spirit, so that his spirit life can then be made manifest through his flesh for strength, insight, execution, and power, for unity. It's for unity. Grace causes us to go to the place of unity. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm trying to get through with this, y'all. It's just so good that God has placed in front of us the word that gives us the steps that are preordained that we should walk in. We're going to have to have an understanding of the supply of grace. Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of grace, the grace of God which is given me towards you. So Paul says, this grace that I'm walking in, these revelations that I have, they were given to me so that I can give them to you. This is the dispensation, the walking out of. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I afore wrote in a few words. Wait a minute, y'all. I'm sorry. Wow. He said, I wrote this to you before in a few words. Two-thirds of the New Testament, this man just called a few words. That's why it says that the books, if everything that Jesus said was written in the books, it said the worlds, with an S, would not be able to contain it. So if you would, in those books that Jesus said, the words that are in those books, they're still alive, okay? Just let you know that, because the word does not die. It liveth and abides forever. So those words, in those books, do you not think that the answer to your challenge has already been written? Amen. It's already been given to you. See? And all of those, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And all of those books of the word of God has been written on your heart. Amen. He's already put those words in you. The challenge is for us to become intimate with them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will have a different conversation. You will ask what you will, and it'll be given you. He called it a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed, as it is now revealed, as it is now revealed. So it's no longer hidden, is it? It's revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less of all the least of the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see. This is Paul's job. He says to make not some men, because of the writings that are still here, that are still active, that are still alive. He says through this all men will see the mystery of the fellowship, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Now to the intent. This is where we get it. Now is talking about today, isn't it? Now to the intent that now the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. He says he's going to make sure that the church is able to display, make known the manifold wisdom of God. And it says this was the eternal purpose which was purposed in Christ Jesus. Wow. This is not just a needed purpose. This is the eternal purpose, that we would all know what and how to display the wisdom of God. It's going to be made known by the church, by us-ins, we-ins, that according to the eternal purpose, which is purpose in Jesus Christ, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access by confidence, with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, which is for your glory. For this cause, because I understand, I bow my knee. Now this is my prayer for you. Okay? This is his prayer. He's bowing his knee. He got his answer in prayer, and now he's saying, I'm going to, okay, you got two knees. Let's do that. You got two knees. And Paul said, when I came here, I was just praying and praying and praying and trying to get understanding and trying to get answers. And then God gave me the answer. Now I'm going to go to the other knee. I'm going to bow my knee to the Lord of our Father, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, and what is the height, that you might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, unto them that received him, to them he gave power to become sons. That you'll be able to see with all the saints. Grace was given for strength, insight, execution and power, unity and reward. Ephesians chapter 3 told us that this is going to be seen by the church. See, this purpose has not changed, he said. He wants us to come into that place of unity. In John chapter 17, verse 17 and following, I want you to see this. This is Jesus' prayer that needs to be answered, and it's the same prayer that Paul just released. He says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God, because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. But it's according to the power that works in you, not the power that you heard about. He said, this is the power that has to work in you. John 17:17 starts off this way. It says, Jesus is praying. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He came here with full of grace and truth. So then, since he coupled them together, let us understand that if he wants us sanctified through the truth, because his word is true, he also wants us to be washed by the grace. Sanctification is a process that takes you from where you are to where you should be. Okay? Sanctification is a process that takes you from where you are to where you should be. Yes, there will be the awareness of, I've got to remove this and I've got to stop that, because sanctification through the word, through the truth, is going to take you from where you are to where you should be. We are all going to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. So he takes us from where we are, wherever that is, unto where we should be. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. As you sent me, I sent them. Because they've been sanctified through thy truth. In chapter 15, verse 3, he says, now are you clean through the words that I've spoken unto you. Now abide there with your clean self. Glory to God. Abide in the place of the cleaning. Oh, we're going to get so much. It's so good. And for thy sakes, verse 19, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth. Need I pray for these alone, but also for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Wow. The power, the splendor, the authority, all of the glory that you gave me, I have given them. And this glory functions best, beloved, through unity, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I mean, this is some powerful stuff. He just gave you the same glory, invited you into the same love. As thou hast loved me, I have loved them. Father, that they also may be, that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for the love, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father. God said this was a righteous thing. Come on. He just gave you all of this information and said, this is righteous. This is not by accident. The deposit of glory, the bath of love. God said, this is righteous. That the world has not known me, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in I. In them, the word abiding in you, then the love abiding in you causes you to be able to be that faithful witness unto the Lord. But the choice is yours. Will you continue to allow God to do the things that he intends to do through you? Or will you fight and argue and do it your way? Will you continue to frustrate the grace of God? Or will you begin to dwell into the grace? Abide in the place where he put you. Because he put you in victory to bring victory. He put you in faith to walk in faith. He put you in peace to establish peace. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we thank you for the ministry of truth and grace in our lives. Begin to be more sensitive to that which you want to do, to that which you called us unto, because you put us in the position that's upright. And if we would simply walk upright, you will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. Thank you, Father, for causing us to be girded up in truth so that we can establish your love that's released to a heart of faith in this time, in every situation that we can ever face. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come into your place of worship, your place of learning, and giving us the opportunity to impart into you things that are necessary for this time, necessary for your life. Is there any questions or comments that you would have about tonight's ministry? We'll give you the opportunity to do that. Area code 404-536-7829. Area code 404-536-7829. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Amen. 404-536-7829. And again, as I come over to this part, and that's just something I got to continue to pray, that God would strengthen us so that we will not forsake the opportunity to participate in the total victory. The Bible says in Revelations 19:11, it says that they overcame, 12:11, they said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So then that means my part in this is to be able to give a testimony about it. I just said tonight that your testimony is not the end of the story. That's just the next chapter. Okay, that's the last chapter. I mean, the previous chapter, say it that way. So then I would like to invite you again, if this has been a blessing to you, that you would go to the website and fulfill the responsibility that you have. If I've sold unto you spiritual things, it's no hard task to believe that you should sow of your natural things. So then if the Lord lays it on your heart, as the Lord lays it on your heart, to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, then you'll go ahead and find the donate tab on the website and be obedient to God, because God says he's the one that's not willing to do without a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you will in every situation have more than enough, self-sufficient to be for every good work and charitable donation. So we thank you that you will execute your part to fulfill the will of God as we've imparted into you grace and truth that will cause you to win in every situation. So until the next time that we get together, I'm looking for you on next Monday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and then be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and then give you his shalom. So until the next time, be blessed.